What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. On this episode, I wanted to come on here and share a few thoughts that I have about day one of NFL free agency. The Carolina Panthers got robbed for their best player on defense by the New York Giants. I'm going to be grading some of the most notable day one NFL free agency signings, and we're going to be discussing if the Atlanta Falcons made the right decision at quarterback, signing Kirk Cousins instead of trading for Justin Fields. Before you dive into it, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we drop new content. Remember that we are not just a YouTube channel, we're a podcast, and you can find us on all podcasting platforms. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. Every episode of the podcast that's uploaded on this channel is available in audio format on all podcasting platforms. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast feed. If you have a question that you would like answered on a future episode, you can send them in the DMs on Instagram at @JTSports_ or on X at @JTSports_. Make sure to also give us a follow on those platforms as well and give us a 5-star review if you enjoy this episode. Now let's get into some of the NFL free agency madness that transpired day one. The Carolina Panthers got robbed today for their best player on defense by the New York Giants. Now, anytime you have a team that's trading away a high-end pass rusher, with there being such a high demand for elite pass rushing talent, you normally expect to get first-round compensation. And the Carolina Panthers today, when I saw the news that they were getting ready to trade away Brian Burns, I was thinking, okay, they're going to trade Brian Burns, get a first-round pick, and maybe try to draft one of the top wide receivers in this year's draft. And then it was another report that came out minutes after that one saying that the Giants were showing a lot of interest in getting Brian Burns. So I was thinking the Carolina Panthers were about to get the 6th overall selection for Brian Burns, and they possibly could have the opportunity to take Marvin Harrison Jr., but no, 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 because you know this is the Carolina Panthers we're talking about, so of course they had to find a way to mess this up like how they mess up all their other trades. Can you believe that the New York Giants really were able to rob the Carolina Panthers of Brian Burns? They only got this dude having to give up a 2nd-round pick in this year's draft and a 5th-rounder in the 2025 NFL draft. If you're Brian Daboll and Joe Schoen, you have to be absolutely shocked at the fact that you are able to pull off this kind of a robbery, man. The Carolina Panthers don't know what the hell they're doing in that organization, man. Ever since David Tepper bought this team, all this franchise has done is continue to implode and be one of the most poorly ran organizations, not just in the NFL, but in sports. Because this is unbelievable. Last offseason, they had the opportunity to trade away Brian Burns to the Los Angeles Rams and get 2 first-round picks for him. You could have gave Bryce Young some more weapons to work with where he could have had a better rookie season if you just would have pulled the trigger and traded Brian Burns last year instead of holding on to him while his value diminished, and then you end up only getting a bag of chips and some stale in a stale flat soda form. Like the Carolina Panthers, bruh, they seem to not know how to trade star players away. They didn't get the proper value for Christian McCaffrey when they gave him away to the 49ers. They didn't trade away the right player when they were trading up for Bryce Young in last year's draft. Like, we all know the biggest mistake the Panthers made with the Bryce Young trade was that they should have never traded away DJ Moore. They should have gave up Brian Burns. And the problem with Carolina and Brian Burns and why they traded them is due to the situation of they didn't want to give Brian Burns what he was asking for, which was somewhere around $28 million a year. The Panthers were not willing to give him no more than, what, $25, $26 million And Brian Burns is a high-end pass rusher, all right? But he's not a superstar tier one pass rusher like a Myles Garrett or a TJ Watt. I think he's in the tier two with the guys like Michael Parsons, but still very good and deserves to get paid. And he signed the five-year deal worth $150 million. $87.5 million of that is fully guaranteed with the New York Giants, and that was a really good deal. Now, he does end up becoming one of the highest paid edge rushers at his position. And when you look at his production, it's not bad. It's pretty good. He had 8 sacks last year. He had 12 and a half in 2022. And the last two seasons before that, 2021 and 2020, he had at least 9 sacks. But if I'm going to give this kind of money to a guy like Brian Burns, I'm going to need double-digit sack production year in and year out. The Carolina Panthers making the decision to trade away Brian Burns wasn't the mistake. The mistake was what you got for him. You should have not traded this dude away without getting a first-round pick. Even if you couldn't have gotten two, you should have at least walked away with one, and that would have been good enough. You can't allow a guy like Brian Burns, who plays a premium position, to just walk away and get this kind of value for him. This is an embarrassment for the Carolina Panthers organization, and it further shows how David Tepper is running this organization into the fucking ground, man. It seems like every time I talk about the Carolina Panthers, I'm talking about either one or two things. Why Bryce Young isn't a bust, why he shouldn't be written off, or why David Tepper is the worst owner in the NFL. Like, when Dan Snyder ended up selling the Commanders away, David Tepper took the mantle of the worst owner in the National Football League from him. And I think that he likes wearing that title. I think he wears it pretty proudly because he seems to think that he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't. And he doesn't even have a great background in running a successful football organization. Like, he had a little bit in stock of the Steelers franchise, and then he got rid of that and then ended up buying the Panthers. But, you know, this dude just doesn't know what it takes to build a winning culture. He doesn't know how to build a winning football team. It's like, today was a great day at first for Panthers fans because you signed two really good offensive guards. But the day ended up on a really low note because you did this stupid trade for Brian Burns. If you were going to get this for Brian Burns, you were better off just keeping him and giving him what he wanted. Because you're better off just keeping a guy this talented instead of just giving him away for basically nothing. You can say you got a second round pick and you may be able to get a good receiver with that. But at this point, man, you need a first for Brian Burns, man. You cannot settle when you're trading away a premium position like pass rusher, man. You need all the value you can get out of that thing. This was a disaster for the Carolina Panthers. For the New York Giants, though, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be really happy right now. Like, yeah, you feel really hurt about Saquon signing with the Philadelphia Eagles, which is really disgusting to look at. Like, just really disgusting. But making this trade definitely had to make you feel really good about how day one of free agency went for you. Because Brian Burns on that D-line with Kayvon Thibodeau, who's now starting to come into his own, and Dexter Lawrence, oh my goodness. That D-line for the New York Giants is going to be so nasty next season. And if they can find the upgrade at QB from Daniel Jones and they continue to improve the offensive line, maybe they can turn things around this year, and maybe I wrote them off too quickly. But this was a fantastic trade by Joe Shoen and the Giants front office. This may have been the best move that the Giants have made in the front office under this new regime, because their last free agency acquisitions that they made last year, Paris Campbell, Darren Waller, they didn't work out. They probably had one of the worst free agency signing periods out of any team in the NFC last year. Like, their free agency class was a disaster. And getting a guy like Brian Burns, who you know is going to give you at least 8 sacks a year, he's going to give you high-end production when it comes to getting after the quarterback, this definitely is a move that you can look at and say this is probably one of the more finest acquisitions that Joe Schoen has been able to get for this organization. But back to the Carolina Panthers, man. Where do you go from here? Because Gross Matos is gone too. He signed in free agency. You also lost Frankie Aluvel, who signed with the Washington Commanders. So you're pretty much saying that you're going to start all over on defense. You're going to rebuild that side of the football. You released Von Bell, which I don't think was a bad decision. I definitely think you can get a lot better at that position. But if you get rid of Jeremy Chinn, you pretty much have given away all of your cornerstones on that side of the football. The players that you actually have done a really good job at being able to draft and develop, you give away for nothing. The only player that you have left on that defense that you drafted, that you developed, is that defensive tackle that you drafted in the top 10 out of Auburn, Derrick Brown. Almost forgot his name. Can't forget his name because he's the only good player that they have left right now on that team in general. So the Carolina Panthers, man, this was a really disappointing move that they made, getting rid of Brian Burns for what they got in return for him. And I just don't understand how they really could just listen to the Giants, offer them a second and a fifth round, and just say, yeah, that's good enough for a high-end position. When you're trading away a pass rusher like Brian Burns, you have the opportunity to set your franchise up to be in a better situation because of the assets that you can get. If you were not going to get a first-round pick, you at least should have gotten a second for 2025 and at least a second and a third for this year also as well. I mean, you talk about finding a way to destroy a franchise that used to be very well ran and a very proud team. Like, the Carolina Panthers were not always this terribly ran. But ever since David Tepper has taken over, from the decision to hire Matt Rhule, from signing Teddy Bridgewater, trading from Baker Mayfield, signing the disaster or hiring the disaster as a head coach that you hired last year and Frank Wright, like, it seems as if David Tepper just doesn't get it. And I really wonder who okayed this trade, because if they would have called me or asked any one of us if this was a decent trade for Brian Burns, we all would have told them absolutely hell no. Don't do it. I'm still tripping over the fact that they had the opportunity to get two first rounders for Brian Burns and they blew it because they were holding on to him, letting his value decrease when they had no intentions of trying to come to an agreement on a long-term deal. You knew what Brian Burns wanted. You should have just paid him what he wanted. $27 million a year, like, you may view it as an overpay, but it's one of those overpays that you can deal with. Because you still know that there's going to be years that Brian Burns is going to give you 12, maybe 13 sacks. Maybe he gives you 8 sacks, but it still is a good decision to re-sign one of the cornerstones of your team. The Panthers just got tremendously worse on defense after day one of free agency. On the O-line, they made some pretty good signings. But defensively, this team just got massively terrible on that side of the football. And it's going to be fascinating to see how they fix those issues that they now have with some of their bigger star pieces on defense departing in free agency for greener pastures. Okay, so next up, I'm going to be grading some of the most notable signings from day one of free agency. We're going to start off with Russell Wilson signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I give this move a B. I'm going to be honest. As a Steeler fan, when I first saw the news that we had signed Russell Wilson, I wasn't happy with it. But when the contract details came out and revealed that he's only going to be getting paid $1.12 million for just this season, I couldn't be upset with it. How can you be upset with it when Russell Wilson signed the deal that's paying him less than the majority of backups in the league? This is a low-risk, high-reward kind of signing. Yes, Russell Wilson may be washed and he is regressing. He's on the older end of 30. But if he can somewhat be decent for Pittsburgh and be better than what they've gotten out of the quarterback position in the past, and he can put up similar numbers to what he did in Denver last season, this could be a pretty good signing because you got this dude for nuts and peanuts, pretty much. And Kenny Pickett is obviously not good enough to be a starter in this league. So no matter what, you upgraded at quarterback. It may not be a tremendous upgrade, but you got better at a premium position where you're pretty much paying only $1 million to a dude like Russell Wilson that is a Pro Bowler. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's one of the best quarterbacks of this past decade. And he's not what he used to be. But Mike Tomlin is one of those coaches that he knows how to get the most out of players that may be viewed as past their prime. And Russell Wilson, with his personality, I think he'll get along better with Mike Tomlin than what he did with Sean Payton. So I give the move a B, low risk, high reward potentially. And even if Russell Wilson does suck and the Steelers end up having the first losing season ever under Mike Tomlin, I still would be happy because maybe we'll be in a position where we could draft Shedeur Sanders next year or maybe trade up for him. But I have no problem with the Steelers signing Russell Wilson. I give it a B grade. The Atlanta Falcons signed Kirk Cousins. Now, when it came out that he was hitting free agency, it pretty much was set in stone that he was going to Atlanta. And Atlanta, they gave him an offer that he couldn't pass up. $100 million fully guaranteed, four-year deal for $180 million. You knew no way in hell the Minnesota Vikings were going to give him that much guaranteed money. This was a huge swing for the Atlanta Falcons, a big dice roll for them. But I think it's one that should pay off. Yes, he is older in age. He's like on his lower half of 30s, but he still is somebody who can give you really good quarterback play. He is coming off that Achilles injury, but at worst, he'll be a top 18, top 19 quarterback, which is way better than what you've gotten out of your recent quarterback play the last two seasons. Marcus Mariota sucked. Desmond Ridder sucked. Kirk Cousins, even if he isn't the same as what he was prior to that Achilles injury, he still should be better than what you've had in the past. And you can still win a division with a Kirk Cousins that may be a little bit worse than what he was last year. Now, if you get the Kirk Cousins that we saw before that injury, when he was playing at an MVP level, when he absolutely lit up the 49ers defense in prime time, not only are the Falcons a lock to win the NFC South, but they could possibly be a team that could make a surprising deep run in the playoffs next year. Kirk Cousins played some of the best football of his career in 2023. If he picks up from where he left off with Atlanta, with the weapons that they have, and the fact that that defense is going to be improved also, I'm not saying they could be a Super Bowl contender, but they definitely could be one of those teams that they make it to the playoffs, they win a playoff game or two, and nobody even sees it coming. Kirk Cousins, I give it a B grade. You know, I would give it an A minus, but it's just, you did give him a lot. $100 million guaranteed, $180 over 4 years. Like, that's a lot for a guy who's this old, coming off this big of an injury. But if he ends up panning out, then it definitely would be money well spent. One thing about Kirk Cousins, he definitely knows how to get what he's asking for. Like, he wanted what he wanted. Minnesota wasn't budging. He went to Atlanta and got it. He just knows how to get the bag. Can't hate on that. DeAndre Swift was signed by the Chicago Bears. They are signing him to a three-year deal worth $24 million. Can you believe that there were people saying that this was a bad move by Chicago? All because it wasn't Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry? Like, listen, DeAndre Swift is a really good running back. And to get him at this value, I had to give you a B-plus grade, bro. Like, DeAndre Swift is really underrated. Yes, he has had history with injuries and durability concern. But last year, he didn't really miss too much time with injuries. And when the Philadelphia Eagles offense was at its best before they ended up falling off in the second half of the season, their offense was running through DeAndre Swift. When that offense ran through DeAndre Swift, that was a really effective and efficient offensive attack that they had. But when they got away from DeAndre Swift, and he started relying more on Jalen Hurts and him throwing the football to win, that's when they got themselves in really bad situations. The Chicago Bears, you're getting a running back that is really good in the passing game. He has really good hands out of the backfield. He also is one of those running backs that is going to average at least 4.5 yards, nearly 5 yards per carry. And there was somebody trying to say that, well, he's not good after contact. He ranked 11th in the NFL this past season in yards after initial contact, ahead of guys like Isaiah Pacheco. This is a really underrated free agency signing. And I think that DeAndre Swift is super underappreciated, and not enough people give him enough credit for the year that he had in 2023 with Philadelphia. Like, he was really good during the first half of the season. I had this dude on all of my fantasy teams. He pretty much saved my fantasy football season because I had nobody at running back until I picked him up in round 6 or 7, and he was a stud. Yes, he did benefit from how good the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line is, but at the end of the day, DeAndre Swift going to Chicago is a tremendous find and a huge upgrade for them at the running back position. Okay, so next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings signing edge rusher Jonathan Greenard. I gave this a B-. Jonathan Greenard is coming off a breakout season. He had 12 sacks last year, and he got injured in 2022, but in 2021, I believe he had 8 sacks. So this definitely is one of those pass rushers that he's on his way to becoming a pretty good Pro Bowl caliber edge rusher. But I just don't know if giving him this kind of contract, 4 years worth $76 million, $42 million guaranteed, is the right value for him. Maybe you could have gotten him for a little bit less. It's just, I'm not saying that this move isn't going to work out, but it's just that, you know, I just don't know just how good Jonathan Greenard is, because he hasn't given us 2 consecutive seasons of high-level play. Like, we saw him get 12 sacks last year in Houston, but the year before that, he was injured. And the year before that, he had 8 sacks. It's just, I would like to see a little bit more consistency. I would have liked this signing a lot more if he not just had 12 sacks this past season, but let's say he played in 2022 and he had 7 or 8 sacks, then I would be a little bit more higher on this signing. But just because, like, he had 1 good season, that doesn't mean that this automatically makes this a great signing. It's like, we need to see consistent production. And that's how signings like this, who look good at the start, end up looking not so great in the end, because you ended up overpaying for a guy who didn't prove to you that he can consistently give you great production as a pass rusher. So Jonathan Greenard, it's like, I don't think it was a completely bad deal. I'm giving it a B-. It's just that we don't know how consistent this guy is. So the jury's still out on him. The Titans signed running back Tony Pollard. This is a B+. They lose Derrick Henry. You replace him with Tony Pollard, who's coming off a down season, but he's still one of the better young backs in the league. He's very young, has a lot of miles left to go, and he can give you about 5-6 highly productive years. He's better in the passing game than what Derrick Henry is. He's way more explosive than what Derrick Henry is. But he's not the tank that King Henry has been for you over the last decade or so, pretty much. But he brings a way different skill set to an offense that isn't going to be anything that Tennessee has ran in the last couple of years. You know, Brian Callahan is a really good offensive mind. He's never called plays before, but he has been getting a lot of, you know, high praise from people coming out of the Bengals organization. Like, Joe Burrow has had great things to say about him. Zach Taylor has nothing but great things to say about him. So I trust whatever him and Rand Carthon have in plan. And Tony Pollard, you know, being Derrick Henry's replacement, and you got Tajay Spears as the RB2. They're pretty set at running back. This is a pretty good transition to make, going from Derrick Henry to Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, 2 younger, cheaper options. Great signing by the Tennessee Titans. B+ for me. The Raiders get an A++++ for signing Christian Wilkins. This was the best free agency signing of day one. I was really surprised when I saw the Raiders pull this off because I wasn't expecting the Raiders to be this active in free agency. If anything, I would have thought that they were going to be one of the teams to go after Kirk Cousins, but you get Christian Wilkins, and now he's on the defensive line that already has Max Crosby lining up alongside of him. If they can get another good edge rusher because Tyree Wilson is already a bust, this could be a really good defense that the Raiders could be building next season. And with all of the talent that they are going to be facing off against at quarterback with Mahomes and Justin Herbert and whoever the Broncos might bring in, you're going to need to overhaul that defense to be able to slow down these high-powered offenses with these high-powered quarterbacks. And getting a guy like Christian Wilkins, who's coming off the best year of his career, he had a career-high 9 sacks. We know how much of a beast he is against the run. He just makes this defense better in all facets of the game. Your pass rush got better. Your run defense got better. This is the best signing that any team has made up to this point of free agency. If you're a Raiders fan, you have to give your front office a round of applause because the last time I can recall the Raiders making this big of a signing on defense and free agency, it was like a decade and some change ago when they signed that cornerback, Nanandi Awesomeboah. Y'all remember him? Real big throwback player. Look up Nanandi Awesomeboah, man. He was part of that, what was supposed to be the Dream Team Philadelphia Eagles. If you don't know what the Dream Team Eagles squad was, then, you know, go back and do a little bit of homework on it. Really disappointing that that team didn't live up to expectations. But Nanandi Awesomeboah was, you know, a really big name that the Eagles have gotten. Well, that the Raiders have gotten. And ever since that signing, they haven't really made a lot of big moves on free agency in terms of bringing in superstar-like talent like a Christian Wilkins. This is a great pickup for Las Vegas. They also signed Gardner Minshew. Now, unlike the Christian Wilkins signing, I hated this signing. I gave it a C-. I was really close to giving it a D-plus because what the hell are you going to do with Gardner Minshew? Now, I get it. If your plan is to trade up for a quarterback in this year's draft, trade up to the top three to get, you know, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, or Drake May, whoever, I understand Gardner Minshew being a really good bridge quarterback for you. But if you're trying to make it to the playoffs this year and you're trying to contend for the AFC West, bro, Gardner Minshew is not going to get you anywhere. You're going to be better than the Broncos, but you're not going to be competing with the Chargers or the Denver Broncos. And who cares if you beat Kansas City with Aiden O'Connell not throwing any passes after the first quarter on Christmas, bro? Like, you're not going to do that shit again. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs won the damn Super Bowl, man. They're going to be a way better team next season than what they were last season. So let's not try. Why are we getting so high on regular season wins? Could you beat Kansas City in the playoffs with Aiden O'Connell? Hell no. So what makes you think that you're going to be able to beat a team like Kansas City or any team in the AFC in the postseason that has a high-end quarterback with Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew was the reason Indianapolis didn't make it to the postseason last year. Like, yeah, he kept them alive in the playoff hunt when Anthony Richardson ran down, but they won a lot of games in spite of Gardner Minshew. You know, he throws a lot of YOLO balls that gets a lot of wide receivers fucked up. You saw what happened to Michael Pittman when he got destroyed by DeMonte Casey. So it's just, I don't know what the Raiders are trying to do at quarterback. To me, you are better off just sticking with Aiden O'Connell, seeing what he does. If you need a backup, it's just, I don't understand giving a guy like Gardner Minshew a 2-year, $25 million deal to possibly be, you know, your starting QB for the next 2 years, because you might not be able to even draft a quarterback this year because you might not even be able to trade up. It's just, I don't like this decision. If you're the Raiders and you're really trying to be relevant in the AFC and trying to compete for this division, Gardner Minshew isn't the answer. So C-minus grade for this signing. The New York Giants. A lot of fans are upset about them not retaining Saquon Barkley, allowing him to disgustingly sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yuck! But, I mean, at least you finally are making strides to improve the offensive line, which has been bad for 6 going on 7 years damn near it feels like. John Runyon Jr. was a great pickup by the Giants. I talked about how great of a signing Christian Wilkins was. Well, this signing probably was the second best signing of day one of free agency. He was really good for the Packers last season. He's young. He provides tons of upside, and he still has a lot of room to improve. And if you look at how he played last year, if he continues to build on that, he could be one of the best interior offensive linemen in the National Football League. You got Andrew Thomas at left tackle. A lot of people seem to forget how good Andrew Thomas is. We don't know what the hell is going to happen with Evan Neal. I feel like at this point, you just have to kick him to the curb. If he does want to play guard, cool, trade him somewhere else. But you can't allow Evan Neal to take another snap at right tackle for this organization again, because you're going to end up getting whoever you have back there at quarterback next season killed with him blocking. Like, this dude probably should be working at McDonald's other than starting as your right tackle. So the New York Giants, I like the signing of John Runyon Jr., A- for me. Now, this next signing they made, signing Devin Singletary, was one of the worst, if not the worst, signing of day one. And I love Devin Singletary. Shout out to him. I always support my fellow Florida Atlantic Owls. But he had a decent season last year with Houston, but it was nothing to write home about. He's a good RB2, maybe RB3. But if you're signing him to be your replacement for Saquon Barkley, then you just got tremendously worse at running back. I mean, you downgraded in the worst way possible. Devin Singletary is nice. You feel me? He's a good RB2, but asking him to take up the mantle of Saquon Barkley to fill his shoes, like, good luck with that. And Houston didn't have a good offensive line. Devin Singletary is one of those running backs that if you don't have a good offensive line, you're not really going to get too much juice out of him. He doesn't really bring anything in the passing game neither. So, I hated this signing. It's a D+. You Giants fans are probably going to get upset with it, but you could have spent money elsewhere. The Jaguars, they had a terrible free agency signing by signing Gabe Davis. Like, what the hell? You might as well have just kept Calvin Ridley. And I get it that Gabe Davis was asking for a lot less than Calvin Ridley. 3-year deal, $39 million plus $11 million signing bonus. But Gabe Davis is the best, most inconsistent wide receiver in the NFL. When Gabe Davis shows up, he's a threat to go off for 2 touchdowns and 150 yards. But you only get like 3 or 4 of those games out of Gabe Davis every season. Outside of those 4 games, you get a lot of mid or, you know, not even, you know, impactful performances out of him. And the Jaguars really need a number one wide receiver. Gabe Davis doesn't bring a number one option to Jacksonville. All he brings is a number two wide receiver in a room with nothing but number two wide receivers. You already have Zay Jones, who's a number three wide receiver 4, and you got Christian Kirk, who's like a good slot, a good wide receiver 2 option for you. But Gabe Davis, he just makes this wide receiving core, you know, it's not bad, but it still isn't that improved. In a sense, you kind of downgraded going from Calvin Ridley to Gabe Davis, because Gabe Davis isn't on the same level as Calvin Ridley. You can say what you want to about Calvin Ridley not being that great, but he's still a pretty good option. Gabe Davis is a solid option. So Jacksonville, I give this a D- grade. They could have did so much better. You might as well have just brought back Calvin Ridley. Now, I do like the signing of Darnell Savage that the Jaguars made. Darnell Savage is definitely going to be a big boost to that secondary, which got absolutely destroyed during the back half of last year. That was another reason why they had that catastrophic fall off. And Darnell Savage, I think that he's pretty good against the pass, against the run. He's what you expect out of a safety. He may miss a couple of tackles here and there, but definitely is the definition of a solid starting safety in this league. And you signed him to a 3-year deal. We don't really know the amount, but I'm figuring it wasn't nothing that really broke the bank. And you pair him up with, you know, you're going to have potentially Tyson Campbell coming back at 110%. You got to find another cornerback, but you got a new defensive coordinator who was really good with the Falcons last season, his first year calling plays on that side of the ball. And I really am high on him and what he can do with this Jags defense, especially if they can lock up Josh Allen long term. You got to work on improving that back end, though. And Darnell Savage is definitely going to be a big get, well, a big time signing for Jacksonville. And I think he's going to have a tremendous impact next season on that secondary. The Rams signed interior offensive lineman Jonah Jackson. He was playing for the Detroit Lions last year. They also re-signed recently offensive guard Kevin Dotson, who is coming off the best year of his career. They continue to solidify that offensive line to make sure that they can keep Matthew Stafford upright. I do believe that it's time for them to start searching for their quarterback of the future, but Matthew Stafford is still playing at a top 10 level. He's like the sixth best quarterback in the league right now, in my opinion. You got to make sure that you prioritize him staying healthy, though. And a good way to make sure he can stay healthy is making sure that you got some good guys blocking for him up front. And Jonah Jackson, you signed him to a three-year deal worth $51 million. $34 million of that is fully guaranteed. Not too bad for a pretty solid starting caliber offensive guard. Is he elite? Is he great? No, but he's definitely decent enough to get the job done. He's not going to be bad. I don't think he'll be a liability. So I like this signing. I give it a B-. The Philadelphia Eagles signed Bryce Huff. He had 10 sacks last year. He started out as an undrafted free agent by the New York Jets back in 2020, I believe. And a lot of people don't know how the hell this dude went undrafted, because when you watch him play last year for the Jets, this dude was lightning in a bottle, and I didn't even know who the hell he was. I was expecting for Will McDonald to really be the dude who took over on that pass rush in his rookie season. But Bryce Huff, man, the deal that the Philadelphia Eagles signed them to concerns me a little bit. 3 years, $51 million, because we don't know if he's going to be one of those guys that can consistently give you double-digit sacks on a yearly basis. And that's why I'm a little bit on the fence about how much they gave him. Maybe you could have signed him for 3 years, $45 million, but this is still a pretty good signing. Now we're going to see what you're going to do with Hassan Reddick. Are you going to keep him? Are you going to trade him? But this is pretty decent. If this does end up being a signing that pans out for Philadelphia and he does continue to give you 10 plus sacks on an annual basis, then you just got one of the biggest value signings of free agency. You know, like normally edge rushers that are giving you 10 sacks a season, they're going for at least 4 years, 120, 130, 150 million a year. Look what Brian Burns just got, and Bryce Huff had a more productive season than what Brian Burns had last year. So I give this a B grade. I would give it a B plus if he just had just a tad bit more production of, you know, 7-8 sacks, but this is a really good pickup by the Eagles. The Packers signed running back Josh Jacobs. This is a B-plus grade for me. Did you get better at running back? I do think that you improved slightly. The gap between Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, to me, isn't really that wide. You know, Aaron Jones is a top 10 back, and when he was healthy last year, especially during that playoff run for Green Bay, this dude was a damn force on that offense. And when they decided to get rid of him because he didn't want to take a pay cut, it made perfect sense why they signed Josh Jacobs. And initially, I was thinking that they were trying to have the best running back duo in the NFL. So, Josh Jacobs, what are you getting out of him? Well, you're getting somebody who is a really tough and physical runner. He excels after contact. He's a high-character guy. And I'm going to love listening to his post-game press conferences after the Green Bay Packers games, because he always gives you really authentic answers. And if you're somebody who really loves listening to player interviews, Josh Jacobs is always a really good listen. He tells it how it is. It's no BS. And I just really am a big fan of Josh Jacobs. He's coming off a down year, mainly due to injuries and the fact that, you know, they had no good quarterback play. So even when he was on the field, teams were just stacking the box. Going to Green Bay with Jordan Love and the young arsenal of weapons that they have down there, this further reaffirms my confidence that the Green Bay Packers are at least going to make it to the NFC Championship next year. Because with the move like this, you got better. You gave him a four-year deal, $48 million, $12.5 million signing bonus. Like, that's a pretty fair deal for a guy like Josh Jacobs. So I give this a B-plus grade for the signing of Josh Jacobs by the Green Bay Packers. The Washington Commanders have been really active in free agency. And they signed center Tyler Biadasz. I give this a C-plus grade. I definitely would have loved for them to go after Connor Williams, but I get that Tyler Biadasz started for the Dallas Cowboys, and there is a good amount of familiarity there. It's not a bad signing. It definitely is a huge upgrade from whoever they had starting at center last year. It's just that there were some better options out there that the Commanders could have paid for, and they definitely have the money to do so. So I give this a C-plus grade. It's not a bad signing. It's just, you could have did a little bit better. And when you can do better, you do better. They also signed defensive lineman Dorrance Armstrong. I give this a B grade. Dorrance Armstrong isn't one of those dudes that's going to give you 10 sacks every single season. But you know he's at least going to be effective, where he gives you 6, 7, maybe 8, 9 sacks at the high end at most. But for what they're paying him, you know, for what he did with the Dallas Cowboys, 3 years, $45 million, I don't think that's too bad for getting a guy that you're going to get somewhere between 6, 9 sacks a year. And the Washington Commanders trading away Montez Sweat and Chase Young, this definitely is going to be really a really good replacement for one of those two guys, whichever side he ends up lining up at, rather that's right side, left side of the D-line. It's just going to be a really good pickup for a team that we didn't really know how they were going to figure out the next answer or the next solution to figuring out how to get that pass rush going again. But Dorrance Armstrong, is he going to be somebody that can give you Pro Bowl production? Maybe he gives you 1 or 2 Pro Bowl years, but this is a decent signing. I give it a B. The Commanders also took linebacker Frankie Louvel in free agency. He's getting one of the best deals that any team has made in free agency. 3 years, $30 million. That is a great value contract for a guy like Frankie Louvel, who has played some of his best football over the last 2 years down in Charlotte. I mean, he was the heart and soul of that Carolina Panthers defense. Brian Burns may have been their best player, but Frankie Louvel was the unquestioned leader of that defense, man. And he made a lot of big plays for the Panthers, not just in the run game, but in the passing game as well. He's pretty decent in coverage. You're getting a jack-of-all-trades linebacker for a really fair free agency market value. Like, I thought that Frankie Louvel was going to break the bank. And for him to just be getting $30 million over 3 years, I definitely feel he deserves a lot more than that. He definitely could have gotten $40 or maybe even $50 million a year. Because if you watch Carolina the last couple of years, this dude is all over the place. You can't watch a single Panthers game and not at least see Frankie Louvel make at least 2 or 3 big impactful plays that impacted the game in Carolina's favor. So I love this signing. This is definitely one of the best free agency signings of day one, getting Frankie Louvel. And overall, this was a really active day in free agency for the Washington Commanders, who have a lot of money to spend because they have some of the most cap space available in free agency. Now, next up, we're going with... Oh, hold up. Now, the Carolina Panthers made a really big splash when they paid offensive guard Robert Hunt, who played for the Miami Dolphins, a 5-year deal worth $100 million. And everybody was saying, that's a lot for an offensive guard. But he was the Miami Dolphins' best offensive lineman last year. And even though they run an offense that's predicated on getting the ball out fast, so does Dave Canales. So it's a perfect scheme fit. You need to improve the offensive line. Your offensive tackle positions aren't too bad. Akeem Okwunu, I still believe that he can be saved. He did have a really good rookie season. So the promise is still there. It's just you need the proper coaching. And he definitely took a step back compared to how he played under Steve Wilks when he was the interim head coach. But mainly, you just need to focus on your interior. And getting Robert Hunt is going to solidify one of those offensive guard spots. You also recently signed Damian Lewis not too long ago. Just didn't have enough time to make a graphic for him. But that's also another big upgrade for you on the offensive line. So your offensive line got tremendously better with just two big signings. Now, who is going to be starting for you at center? Are you going to address that in free agency? Are you going to sign Connor Williams? Or are you going to draft one in the draft this year? We'll see how they go about addressing that. And lastly, we have the Washington Commanders again signing another player in free agency, running back Austin Ekeler. I gave this a C-plus grade. Austin Ekeler at this point in his career, like, all he really is a good threat catching the ball out of the backfield, and he is really good in the passing game, but he doesn't really give you that much on the ground anymore. You know, he's really small. He's starting to regress a lot, and he doesn't really have top-end speed, not really the most agile guy anymore. But if you're asking him to be your RB2 behind a Brian Robinson and being a complimentary back, he can be decent. And you aren't paying him that much. It's just a two-year deal worth $11.4 million. But it is one of those moves that you just look at and you just keep on scrolling. And you probably forget about it in the next couple of minutes because of everything else that's going on. But these are my grades for some of the most notable signings during day one of free agency. Give me your grades for these signings down in the comment section down below. What grades do you agree with? Which ones do you disagree with? I'm eager to hear your guys' thoughts. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. The Atlanta Falcons are giving Kirk Cousins a massive payday. They're signing him to a four-year deal worth $180 million. $100 million of that is going to be fully guaranteed. And this is a really interesting direction that the Falcons have chosen to go at quarterback. Because on one end, you look at how well Kirk Cousins has played for the majority of his career. He's been a top 12 quarterback. And 2023 was the best season of his career. The Minnesota Vikings got out to a slow start, but with how well Kirk Cousins was playing, he helped the Vikings turn their season around. He led them to a big primetime win over the Minnesota Vikings. He was looking like an MVP candidate. And then when things were looking up for Kirk Cousins, disaster struck. He suffers a season-ending Achilles injury. And for the Atlanta Falcons, what makes this signing a really risky one is that you're investing a lot of money into a guy that's coming off Achilles injury, that with him being this late into his career, he might not be the same quarterback that he once was prior to sustaining that Achilles injury. He might have a little bit of a slight drop off this year. Plus, he's going to be 36 years old before next season kicks off. And you think about all of the Justin Fields trade talk to Atlanta, all the weeks leading up to free agency, it seemed like after the combine, the Justin Fields Atlanta talk started to lose a little bit of steam. And the closer we got to free agency, the more likely it seemed like Atlanta was leaning in the direction of Kirk Cousins. And many people feel like this decision was not a good one by Atlanta, because you could have gotten Justin Fields, a younger option at quarterback on a way cheaper deal, and you don't have to worry about the durability and regression concerns that you have with Kirk Cousins. And that leads to the question, You know, did Atlanta make the wrong decision signing Kirk Cousins instead of trading for Justin Fields? And I think it is a pretty reasonable discussion to have because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is coming off a season-ending Achilles injury also, and the New York Jets don't know how good he's going to be. And when you come off injuries this significant late into your career, especially being Kirk Cousins, who already isn't the most athletically gifted guy at all, he doesn't really have any mobility. Him having this Achilles injury really makes it hard for him to continue to sustain the level of play that he had before that injury occurred last year. And for Justin Fields, you know, him being so young and having all that upside, he looks like an appealing option. But me personally, in my opinion, the Falcons signing Kirk Cousins was the right decision. Because Kirk Cousins, even if he does regress and he isn't the same, he still isn't going to be bad enough where he just falls off to the point that he isn't worthy enough to be a starter. At worst, Kirk Cousins gives you top 18 quarterback play, which still is good enough to win you the division and maybe win a playoff game because you got a really good team around Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. You're going to have a really good defense. And with how accurate of a passer and how well Kirk Cousins plays within structure and with Atlanta's offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, coming from the Sean McVay coaching tree, Kirk Cousins is a perfect fit for the kind of offense Zach Robinson wants to run. He wants to have a quarterback that can make good decisions with the football and can be an accurate passer. Those are things that Justin Fields is not. Justin Fields is a better athlete than he is a quarterback. And you see, everybody is so infatuated with what Justin Fields could be instead of looking at Justin Fields for what he already is. And what he already is right now, we don't know. And that's the biggest mystery with Justin Fields. And for Atlanta, if you're Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons front office, why do you want to continue to play musical chairs with quarterbacks that you don't know their ceiling? When you can just go ahead and get an already sure thing that you know that at worst is still going to be pretty productive. Because the worst version of Justin Fields could possibly have Atlanta picking in the top 5, top 10 of the draft in 2025 again. So getting Kirk Cousins gives Atlanta the best chance to win right now because you're not waiting on potential. You already know what Kirk Cousins is. That's a pretty solid quarterback. And if he picks up from where he left off last year, not only are the Falcons not just going to be a lock to win the NFC South, but they possibly could make a little bit of a playoff run also. You can't say the same if they have Justin Fields at quarterback because he isn't good in the fourth quarter. Since he's been the starter for the Bears in 2021 and so forth up until this point, he is the worst fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL. He is dead last in completion percentage. He leads all quarterbacks since 2021 in fourth quarter interceptions. He just isn't a winning quarterback when it comes to building a championship team. Now, if you're looking for a quarterback that can just get you by for a season or two, then Justin Fields is a good option. But for Atlanta, you rather gamble with Kirk Cousins then gamble with Justin Fields because the ugly of Justin Fields is you not making the playoffs. The ugly of Kirk Cousins is you could still possibly be a playoff team and win maybe 9-10 games and get in as a 7th or 6th seed, but you can't say the same with Justin Fields because Justin Fields hasn't proven to be able to win. At least with Kirk Cousins, you know you give him a good supporting cast, he's going to get the job done. And Justin Fields is just so much of a wild card that if you're a head coach getting a second opportunity like Raheem Morris and you're a defensive-minded coach, why would you even want to waste time on that when you don't have a lot of time to prove yourself as a head coach, especially this being your second opportunity? This is most likely going to be the last time Raheem Morris ever gets a head coaching job if this doesn't work out. So he has to make the most of it. And it doesn't make sense for him to put his job security on the line for a quarterback that you don't really know how good he is. And you got to try to unlock the code to him reaching his potential when you can just go with Kirk Cousins, have success right away, and then as Kirk Cousins continues to get older and he regresses, then you can find his successor. But, you know, the whole money thing, I don't really think is that big of a deal, because $180 million over 4 years, and most of it's going to be fully guaranteed. Like, whatever the yearly salary is for Kirk Cousins, nobody really should get too wrapped up in that, because the guaranteed money is what matters the most. And Minnesota really wanted to bring Kirk back, even despite his age and his injury, because he's still a fairly good quarterback. But the problem is that he was asking for way more than what the Vikings were willing to risk, and the Atlanta Falcons were willing to roll the dice and jump in the water and see if Kirk Cousins can still pick up from where he left off. Because even if the regression does hit because of that injury, he won't just completely fall off the cliff when he's like Russell Wilson and he's no longer starter quality. But, you know, the thing with Kirk Cousins is that with the pieces that Atlanta has around him and Zach Robinson running a Sean McVay offense, this offense should be pretty good with Kirk Cousins at the helm next year. And if I had to give you guys my early NFC South predictions, I would go with Atlanta. Not really because of the recency bias, but I wanted to pick Atlanta to win the NFC South last year, but I just didn't have a lot of faith in Arthur Smith or Desmond Ridder at quarterback, and I was proven right. This year, though, with you having a head coach, getting his second opportunity, you know, he's not new to this. He is experienced. He's going to be able to learn from his mistakes. He has a pretty good staff in place, and you got a really dependable and solid quarterback that in the NFC South that doesn't really have strong quarterback play and good head coaches, Atlanta should really be able to easily win this division as long as Raheem Morris is a decent coach. But if they had Justin Fields instead of Kirk Cousins, you know, then it just makes this team a bigger mystery than what they already are with Kirk, because with Justin Fields, you don't know what to expect. You don't know if this dude is going to continue to play the way he has in Chicago, or if you really have the system and the infrastructure in place to get the most out of Justin Fields and for him to reach his potential. So for all the Justin Fields cultists and the Justin Fields fanboys out there, it's like you guys keep saying he should be starting, the Chicago Bears did him wrong, but what you're saying is way different from what the league is saying. And the league is what is responsible for determining somebody's value and trying to put an estimation on how good somebody is. And the NFL right now doesn't think Justin Fields is that good. He's not even that good at all. I already told you guys that I think he's extremely overhyped. I don't think he's bad, but I don't really think he's a quarterback that right now really gives you anything special other than upside and potential. And upside and potential doesn't win you games in the NFL. The NFL is a production-based business. You got to go out there and you got to produce, even if you don't have the greatest situation. And it's not like Justin Fields was playing on a shitty team last year. The Bears won 7 games. They had a top 10 defense during the second half of last season. Their defense carried them throughout the majority of that year. If it wasn't for the defense, they possibly would have only won maybe 1-2 games. So the decision to sign Kirk Cousins instead of Justin Fields, to me, was a really good one. It was a decision that was safe to make, and it's a decision that I think is going to pay off dividends for Atlanta. The Minnesota Vikings are signing quarterback Sam Darnold to a 1-year deal worth $10 million. This has been rumored for the last couple of weeks that Sam Darnold was their potential plan at QB if they couldn't retain Kirk Cousins. And with Kirk Cousins agreeing to terms with the Atlanta Falcons, Sam Darnold is their next best option at QB. And I think that Sam Darnold could give the Vikings pretty serviceable quarterback play. Now, could he be good enough to get this team to the playoffs? Maybe. And the reason why I say maybe is because Sam Darnold does need to be anything game-changing. All he needs to do is be a good game manager, because they got a really good team around him. You're throwing to Jordan Addison, who is coming off a really productive rookie season. Jay Jettis is the best receiver in the NFL right now. You got one of the best offensive minds in the game in Kevin O'Connell, and you're going to have a really good defense next season. As long as Sam Darnold can minimize turnovers and mistakes, Minnesota still has a chance to compete for a playoff spot. Now, are they going to be able to win their division? I don't think so. Sam Darnold isn't going to be able to help you compete in the division with the Detroit Lions as big as a juggernaut as what they are, and Jordan Love in ascension mode right now for the Packers at QB. You're just going to need to find a better quarterback if you look to be anything more than just an early first round exit at best. But for the Minnesota Vikings, I like this move because Sam Darnold can be a good bridge quarterback. And it still allows you a lot of flexibility in terms of how you want to go about addressing the position potentially in the draft this year. Because with where you're picking at right now, you may not be in a position to land any of the best quarterback prospects like a Bo Nix or Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, Drake May without trading up into the top five to get one of those dudes. And the Vikings may not be willing to part with the asses that it takes to trade up that high. And if you're Minnesota, you know, if you don't get a QB this year, you could trade back down and maybe put yourself in position next year to maybe trade up or land Shedeur if Sam Darnold doesn't work out and you're just a bad team. So I think for Minnesota, signing Sam Darnold is a really good pickup for them because Sam Darnold, you're signing him to a cheap deal, which still allows you to have a good amount of money to spend to improve your team and other positions in free agency. You just signed the pretty good edge rusher and Jonathan Grenard from Houston. You're looking at bringing in some more options at running back to improve your run game, which was one of the worst in the NFL last year. Sam Darnold does have a little bit of mobility. He can extend plays. He does play really good in structure. And when Sam Darnold's in rhythm, he can be pretty good at times. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to light the world on fire or whatnot, but every single year, there's a quarterback that comes out of nowhere that people counted out and resurrects his career. Last year it was Baker Mayfield. The year before that, it was Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks. And it most definitely could be Sam Darnold as long as the Minnesota Vikings continue to give him a good supporting cast and a good offensive line. And he does have something that Kirk Cousins never did. And you know, that is the ability to run around. You can maybe use some design quarterback runs with Sam Darnold to open things up in the ground game for you. Or maybe you can run some more RPOs or some read options or some QB powers with Sam Darnold. It's just having Sam Darnold with the mobility that he has. It's not elite mobility, but it's mobility that you have to account for. If you give Sam Darnold a little bit of green grass, he can turn that into a 5-10 yard scramble. The dude is pretty athletic, more athletic than what you may think. And he can make throws outside the pocket, off platform. It's just all about getting him comfortable and getting him in rhythm. Kevin O'Connell, for a brief stretch, had Joshua Dobbs playing at a really good level. And then that fell apart and you start Nick Mullins, but even Nick Mullins didn't look too bad at times. So Sam Darnold can give you consistent play. And let's say Sam Darnold has a season next year where he throws 24 touchdowns and only 10 or 11 interceptions and completes around 64% of his passes. That's a really good season for Sam Darnold. I don't see how Minnesota doesn't make the playoffs getting that kind of play out of Sam. So the Minnesota Vikings are signing Sam Darnold. Let me know what you guys think about this move down in the comment section down below. And this is it for this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you enjoy, leave a like, subscribe to the pod and the channel. You can find us on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find the JT Sports Podcast. Leave a like, subscribe to the channel, turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we upload new content. And I will see you guys shortly with another episode of the JT Sports Podcast.